Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Mascaria interview. I met Mascaria back in the day when I worked at Amoeba Records. The one thing that stood out during his episode was his stories. He had a story where he was hustling CDs at Venice and where he got jumped by a couple people trying to steal his CDs. So, yeah, he had some interesting stories. He's like a brother to me, and I hope you enjoy. Thanks for tuning in. Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew, baby. Ooh. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome dope producer Mascaria.
Yes, back here again.
Yeah, this is a reunion. I'm really excited about
Thank
this.
Thank you, my friend. I'm excited too.
How many years has it been?
16.
It's been 16.
Yeah, 2006. 16 years.
Man, me and you go way back.
Yeah.
I remember. Well, you dropped some of these on my desk. I'm sober, by the way.
For you, my brother.
But friends might. We're gonna get into the mushroom.
Okay.
Thing.
Well, this is like tea. These are natural. These are like tea.
Okay. No problem. Man, we got so much to talk about. Firstly, I wanted to get this on camera. Yeah. I wanted to apologize to you. We had some... back then, I wasn't sober. I was out of my mind. I was a little crazy. I wanted to apologize to you as far as my behavior, because I remember we didn't talk for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember what happened. So I just wanted to say, I apologize. I'm sorry about
well,
the past.
Well, it's me that should be apologizing
no, no,
to
no,
you.
No, it's okay. No, you're fine. You're fine.
But I should, you know...
No, it's all good.
You but, We were just hanging out a bit much, and we were just getting to each other like brothers.
Yeah,
you know?
because
I thought of you like a brother, man.
Yeah,
I love you, man.
I know.
And
man,
you know,
and then people don't realize with
but
you,
the love was always there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, me too. Yeah, in my heart.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
God, like but, years would go by. And go,
yeah,
God, I wonder what he's up to.
Yeah.
Hey, who was the guy that I used to drink beers with in the back?
Cliff. Yeah.
What happened to Cliff?
Cliff and Fred.
Well, I used to drink beers at your house, at your mom's house.
Yeah, I think that was Cliff. It was Cliff.
But you had an outhouse, and then you built a room for him.
Yeah, we built him a room in the backyard. And, he was a guy that was always there, you know? And he was a cool guy, man, and he just passed away. Yeah. But he went to the other side. But it's, you know what? He was
man.
In pain.
Rest,
so
rest in peace,
but
Cliff.
Rest in peace, Cliff. We love you.
Yeah, we.
And,
man, I used to drink beers with.
Man,
him.
Yeah, I used to sneak into Coachella with Cliff. Man,
I used to
like fucking help him get over the fence and like sneak in. We used to like sneak into like everywhere. We went to the Pink Floyd 3 times. Cliff was my boy.
That's the homie.
So
and then
he'll
was,
always be.
Oh man,
part of me, you know.
God. That was a while ago,
yeah.
But I just remember me and him, like, got along, like, well.
Yeah.
And then I remember another memory. I have so many memories with you.
Me
but
too,
I remember
me too.
One night we were at, I think your mom's, because you lived in the garage at the time.
Yeah, I was staying in the garage.
Yeah. But then we were hungry, and then you made me shrimps. You I'm like, man, I'm starving. And you went into the kitchen, and you, I don't know if they're microwavable, but they're delicious.
Well, thank you,
it
man.
It was like honey glazed. And then you brought him out.
I get that from my mama. I was trying to have good hospitality.
And then you brought it out with a paper plate.
Thank you. Thank you.
But okay, let me just give a little background information about my homie Mascaria. This man actually always encouraged me the whole time to not only keep doing hip hop, but to expand my production skills. Because do you remember the Guitar Center?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is years back. Gosh, he kept pushing because I have had the SPs, but he kept saying, "Oh, Quan, you need an S. Hey, baby, you need an MPC. You need an MPC." And I go, and then you go, do you have the van?
I used to have the van, yeah.
Okay, but back then you had the van, the blue van.
Yeah.
And then, let's get in the van. I go, all right, we're going to go now. And then you drove me to Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And we walked down where the drum machines are back then. It's different now.
Here on Sunset, right?
Yeah, here on Sunset. Wow. And then we saw MPC 60. I remember, because I got it, remember? Yeah. I bought it, but then... cause like I think MF Doom used it, or like some of our favorite producers use that. You kept saying, this producer,
legendary producer, used the MPC
60.
The 60,
So I bought it, but then I like got cold feet because you like dipped, and then I was trying to read the instructional.
It's a bitch, that MPC to save stuff.
You want to get into it? Go ahead.
Yeah, the MPC, it's a trick, you know, like just saving a beat is a trip, especially on the 60 with all those floppy disks.
Yeah.
I remember having like 16 floppy disks for one beat, and I swear it took like 3 minutes to load all those disks in. Mm-hmm. And I would always have to have duplicates of the same disks, because if one of them was fucked up, if one of those floppy disks out of the 15 or 14 or however many I had was jacked up, your whole beat would be scrambled.
Right.
So So
his to describe his production style, he's different than any other of the producers. I mean, you have your own kind of genre almost. Yeah.
Say that's like Salvador Dali on acid.
Yeah, it's trippy.
Thank you.
I would say it's like, if I would categorize it back then, it's like almost like a psychedelic underground vibe, but mixed with your own like seasonings.
Thank you.
Like embedded in there.
Yeah.
And I just used to trip out. And then... correct me if I'm wrong, because like we're going to go through your whole production history. Like you were working back then with AWOL, right?
Yeah, AWOL 1.
So how did you guys link up, you and the Shapeshifters or whatever?
Shapeshifters, yeah. Those are one of my favorite crews.
Shout out to the
Shifters. Crew. Yeah. All the homies and Shifters, they're all dope. They're still doing their thing.
Shout out to Circus and Exist.
Yeah. AWOL. Yeah, I met all them. Yeah, I met AWOL a long time ago. And,
Alex.
Two Mex.
Oh, Gino too.
Gino, Subtitle.
Yeah, Subtitle.
Yeah, he was on here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
and,
sir. How did you meet? How did you meet AWOL? Like, how did you start working with him?
Okay, yeah, I met AWOL. I didn't know much about him at the time, just from the Shapeshifters. People were like, hey, you gotta check out the Shapeshifters. Mm-hmm. Those guys are crazy. They're fried out. And I was like, dude. So I got a hold of a CD, and I became a fan. You know, I was like, dude, these guys are dope. And then I was getting into making beats and stuff, and I was like, dude, I want to give AWOL a beat. You know, he's a dope rapper. So I ran into him at a rave and I made a collage and I gave it to him. And I remember years later, he was like, dude, like I'll always have the collage, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's how I, you know, became friends with him. And then, you know, I played him beats and we just established a relationship, you know, and we became good friends.
Yeah,
and, you know, he's still my friend till this day.
That's what's up. Yeah. Can you, because I'm a fan of the Shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan. You know, I think they're one of the most innovative underground groups.
Yeah.
Period in L.A. I'm really obsessed with Circus.
You need to get Circus on here, man.
Yeah. How do I, because I heard that he might not be right.
Yeah, I have some stories, but I don't want to.
Wait, you have stories?
Yeah, I don't want to say another.
Oh, okay.
But they're not bad. But he's
different too, right?
Yeah.
Because he was into the reptilians back.
He has some crazy things.
I thought he was crazy,
but now
I'm realizing, like, oh, this guy was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
With the reptilians, you know that
man.
That thing.
Yeah, I mean,
remember that album he put out at Amoeba? It had George Bush,
uh-huh.
And then half his face was reptilian.
Yeah.
Like they live.
He was living with my friend now. I think Nowy and his brother. Nowy passed away too. I don't know if you know who he was. Years back, he was drinking and stuff, and he was young, man. And Circus was living there, and they says, "Hey, man, you know he's paying his rent, so he's kind of weird and he's crazy, but he's always on point with his rent, so we ain't gonna kick him out. He's cool." And I was like, "Dude, Circus is living there," and I was like, "Dude," and I was like, "That's dope, you know? I mean, it's what? How dope is that? You got like a dope artist living with you, and so you know what I mean? They were artists with, them.
Living with you?
With my friend Nawi.
Oh, he was living with them.
Yeah,
in LA and his somewhere.
Brother." No, not in L.A. It was, like, towards Anaheim.
Okay.
And I remember I spent the night there. We were drinking and stuff. We were making beats. They had all these records. Damn. And we were sampling and making beats. And then I woke up at 3 a.m. to somebody yelling. And he's like, "Oh, that's Circus. Don't worry. Just go back to bed." And so I opened the door. And he was, like, he was yelling at something in the closet saying that it was the Illuminati. Like, leave me alone. And I was like, whoa. And he had an E.T. mannequin figure next to him. I was just wondering, like, where's the tinfoil hat, you know? But
wait, hold up, man. He was going through some stuff. Hold up, yeah. Mascario. I didn't mean to cut you off. Are you telling me at 3 in the morning he was yelling at something in the closet?
Yeah, yeah, it was the Illuminati.
He said it was an Illuminati.
Yeah, to leave him alone, to get out of here. Whoa. Yeah, yeah.
The last thing I heard of him, he was did Husky Radio, and he was talking about he thought that aliens... He thought that aliens sabotaged his computer files.
Oh, really?
Or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Damn.
So,
But the next morning, I woke up, and he seemed to be perfectly fine. But when he walked into the kitchen to make a frozen pizza, he was cutting strawberries and putting them on there as pepperonis. And I was like, dude, what's up?
Oh, that's
like,
weird.
I don't know if these are... But I tried one, and it was good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I was like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, you know? Well, you know what?
But the craziest story I have with Circus is... A few years after that, he was staying at this place called McWorld.
Okay, where's that? What is that?
It was like in the ghetto somewhere. It's like mm-hmm. a big warehouse, mm-hmm. and gosh, it was like off there, like, oh man, like kind of by like mid city,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I was over there. We were watching a show.
What
and
year?
This was like maybe about 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
And I was watching the show, and underneath the stage, somebody was, like, tugging at my feet, and I looked under the stage, and it was Circus under there, and he was saying...
Under the stage?
Yeah. Hey, man, can you tell them to keep it down up there? I'm trying to sleep.
And this I'm is like, a show?
Yeah. So I was like, man, I don't know how to... Tell them to keep it down up here. Hey, there's someone trying to sleep down here. Like, keep it down, you know?
But it was a hip-hop show.
It was at a show, yeah. And he was staying there at the time, you know what I mean?
But he was living at the show.
At the place. He knew the guy.
At the venue.
He knew the guy at the venue, yeah. Yeah. And he was throwing shows over there. Yeah, so he was going through some stuff.
That's why I needed you on here, baby.
But
because only you would have those stories.
But you know what, man? But
yeah, baby.
I could say when I was at Nowy's, he was making music and he was working on an album. And I could say the beats and the fucking raps were dope.
It was
all conspiracy type
dude,
shit,
dude,
but it
dude,
was
dude.
Like, well, it was
Is it
dope.
Out? Is it out?
I have no idea.
To that, bro.
You got to find, when you have him on your show.
Dude, I'm a fan.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Like, out of all of them, I love all of them. But
he's one of my favorite MCs.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because his style was weird,
and
too.
As a person, as a person, he's a really cool,
very interesting guy.
He's always been cool with me.
We got to do an ad read. Sorry.
Absolutely,
so we're
going
to do it right now. Okay. This goes out to this episode's sponsor. Blue Chew, okay? For those of you who have a hard time getting your penis hard and having your penis stay erect, Blue Chew is the answer. And I was going to go off the email saying you should talk about like how, you know, your partner was very satisfied with last night after you take your Blue Chew. But this is for all my single guys and guys who don't have girlfriends and guys who masturbate. Like, because I still have, I have a girlfriend, but I masturbate still. And, you know, when I take Blue Chew, I really enjoy it more because you know how when you masturbate...
man, you got to give me some of
when
them
you masturbate, Blue Chews. I will. When you masturbate and then you have to go pee or...
Yeah.
And then sometimes you lose your boner gets
you lose
like
your
softer,
erection,
yeah.
man.
Because
yeah.
it's not fun to masturbate with a soft penis,
no,
right?
No, no.
So that's why you single guys get some Blue Chew, okay? Because you could really you don't have to have a girlfriend or have a partner to enjoy an erect penis.
No,
you could enjoy it.
You got to be erect.
You got to be erect even if you're masturbating. Okay, so now Right now, you've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code Stebee. STEEBEE. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Stebee. STEEBEE. And listen, this is another vantage point or an advantage for doing Blue Chew. You don't have to, like, wait for, you know, when you're at the pharmacy, yeah, if you want to get some pill, and then you're kind of self-conscious. Blue Chew delivers to you. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to deal with the doctor visit or any of that. So do you have sex toys?
I think everybody. I think there's something wrong with you if you don't got a sex toy.
So anyway, you can enjoy Blue Chew.
And if you say you don't, you're fucking probably lying. Yeah.
Exactly. So hey, I'm not lying.
No.
And I think I have my reasons why Blue Chew likes me, because they know that I masturbate.
Yeah.
So you'll definitely stay like this while you're watching X videos or Pornhub or whatever you want to do, and you'll stay hard for your entire masturbation experience.
Nice.
Now, Blue Chew, that was the best damn commercial that anyone's given to you. So come back to the Stebee Weeby Show. We'll sell them Blue Chews, okay?
Trust me, he endorsed that product because pretty this good motherfucker,
you know,
knows.
Wait, tell the camera
about the fleshlights. This is the fleshlight. This is Quanzilla, homie, the fleshlight master. So don't fuck with him.
But a real tuck. Even back then, I was.
Yeah, even back then. I remember when I first met Kwang Gu.
Yeah, this is still Blue
Chew. I was in Amoeba. I was outside of Amoeba selling records and CDs. And they were always giving me a hard time. Hey, man, you can't sell records out here. You can't sell CDs. You got to go across the street. I says, I'm only hitting the people up walking out of here. So whoever's walking in, if they're going to buy something, they're going to buy something.
Yeah.
And so I met Kwang Gu over there at Amoeba. Yeah, he used to work there. And the first day I met Kwang, yeah. But you said you bought a CD, or you had a CD from me from somewhere at a show. You said, no, I got a CD from you, or I gave you, or something.
Dude,
or
back then,
yeah,
I was something like, about, okay. So nowadays rappers don't need to do shows or really show up.
Yeah.
But back then when we were hustling, we had to actually go to the knitting factory.
Yeah, we had to go out there and sell.
We had to really hustle. Like, hey, dude, like, here's my CD. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I remember I peeped game from you. You'd always be selling something.
Yeah. You know, when I grew up having a father as a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. He used to take me into like Santa Ana to sell heroin.
Yeah.
And,
you learned hustling.
Yeah, and he would sell like cocaine and heroin, black tar.
Yeah.
And like Santa Ana places. He went from being a kingpin selling kilos and shit to being a small-time street hustler, back to being a big-time fucking kingpin small-time, you know. So he was like a roller coaster all his life, you know. Like he had trials and tribulations.
But you peeped something.
So I learned the hustling game and how to hustle. And my dad,
You hustled the music dope.
Yeah. And my dad, he always had a gun with him and like a henchman or two that he would pay. He would pay a guy like $100 to stand next to him while he would sell heroin on the streets of Santa Ana. And then and I would watch all this shit happening. You know, I would see him sell. He would have like he would always have a stashed in the grass, like in a dreidel bag.
Well, how old were you, man?
I must have been like, you know, anywhere from like 10 to 13. Wow. And I remember this one time he sold. I remember, man. Yeah. Wow.
No, this is great. This is great stuff. Yeah, I remember this
one time he sold. He gave this guy an 8-ball of coke, and it was some big, like, tough black-looking dude, and he said, I'll be back. He didn't come back, and they saw him, like, 2 days later, and I was with him, and he had this one guy. He was an Asian dude, and he was like, I called him Bruce Lee, you know, was my nickname for him.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like Bruce Lee, but he knew how to fight, and 2 days later, we saw him, and that guy, because my dad paid him every $100 to be with him every day.
And
there was another guy he paid, too. So we saw him, and then he had these nunchucks made out of, like, pipes. With cement in them and a chain.
Well, they were homemade nunchucks?
Yeah.
Nunchucks homemade?
Yeah. And I swear, I must have been like 11 years old, and I seen him walk up to him and just crack him in the head with these, and his head just split open. He fell on the floor. They took all his money. He had some money. They only took the money that he was owed, and they left the rest of his money on there.
Oh, so there was honor. There was like street
code.
There was street honor.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I'm just taking what you owed me.
Yeah.
See, there's like an honor system to that.
Yeah.
Because if he was a filthy dude, he would take all of it, right?
Yeah. Fast forward for years later, I was a friend of Workman's down here on...
Explain to the viewers what Workman's was back then.
It was a place, I loved Workman's because they would always let me sit in front of the store on Melrose and sell my CDs, you know. I knew the owner.
So Workman's was a store on Melrose back in the day, and they sold, like, graffiti pens.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Tagging streakers and stuff.
And t-shirts, hip-hop. They had, like, underground, Dickies. And they had a lot of, they big supporters of underground. You would see, yeah, like, Medusa yeah. shirts and, like, Freestyle Fellowship, yeah, and like get, all the hip hop.
So
heads.
You would get like all the underground, like different elements. Yeah. Like you could get like a cool con art
yeah.
shirt, and you could get Dickies, and you could walk away with the streaker.
Yep.
And you're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was in front of there and I was selling my CDs. I mean, I've been in a few confrontations in front of there, but this was yeah. the one time they kicked
me
out.
What year was this?
This must have been, I don't know the exact year on point, but it must have been 2005 or 2006, you know, probably 2005, and you know, I always had my boombox with me. My friend Mike was with me right there, and people would walk by, and I said, "Hey, man, are you into hip hop? What are you into? Whatever, blah blah blah." And I had my Walkman, and I let him listen to the music, and so this guy walked by, and he looked like, you know, I'm not racist, and from, and
I know, dude,
all.
You don't have to explain that to
but,
me,
but
dude.
He, but he was like a Middle Eastern type dude.
Okay,
and
that's
he walked
fine.
By, and I have Middle Eastern friends, so.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, man, what are you, what kind of music are you into? You like hip-hop?" And he says, "Fuck you." He says, I said, "What?" And he's like, "Yo, fuck you."
Yeah.
And he said, "What if I just took your CDs from you?"
Why did he say that?
He was just having a bad, I don't know, I can't
yeah,
explain
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
he was
yeah,
just
yeah,
having, yeah. it happens every once in a while.
Yeah,
you run
yeah.
into that asshole. So,
yeah,
so he's like, "What if I just took your fucking CDs from you?" And I had 6 CDs on me, left. And I said, "You know what, man? I'll fucking let you have them." And I put the CDs to his face, and I just punched the CDs into his face.
Oh, wow.
Well, he tried to grab them from me and shit,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow.
And he was going to raise up on me. And I snapped, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't have. So
you
I just
know,
punched
the
CD.
Thing about,
he
on,
fell
the,
down,
yeah, yeah.
and I felt bad.
Yeah,
I felt bad, you know. But you know what? I learned something. Because when he fell down,
yeah.
he and I smacked the CDs in his face, he actually purchased those 6 CDs right there. I went into his wallet, and I pulled out what he owed me for the CDs, and I said, "Thank you. Have a good day," and I was gone.
Oh, this is relating back to the story about your dad and just taking the right amount.
Yeah, just take
yeah,
the right
yeah,
amount,
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Now, there's something to be learned there, wouldn't you say?
That was then. I'm
so,
not like that
yeah,
nowadays.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do
not,
that, man. I would just walk away.
Just,
he snapped.
In
he came up to my face,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like...
In your defense, for as long as I've known him, he's like the most jolly,
yeah,
carefree,
yeah, yeah.
friendly... guy.
I'll always,
you know,
be,
what I mean?
You know,
like
he's like,
always
yeah.
been. I mean, you know, you're not like that.
Yeah, no,
but
no.
It's, it,
but you piss a motherfucker off.
I know
you,
it takes a lot, and I'm
you
the
know,
same way.
It took a lot. Yeah,
I'm the
oh,
same
yeah,
way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm nice.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, dude. What's up? You know.
But you
but
piss
then,
you
but
off.
But then if I see something a certain way and it's like going over the border.
Yeah.
Line, you know. Then I'm like, okay, no, I have to say something. No, you know, I'm not a physical, but you know, I'll definitely speak up.
Yeah,
at least speak up. But let's keep it more on the. Let's go back on the music and
let's do it.
So, how did you? What's the first piece of gear you started like producing music with? Like, because you have records too. Like, we'll get into
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
the
yeah,
MPC,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
MPC.
So MPC.
Yeah, yeah.
MPC.
I had a friend Renee. He had the 60. And I never seen an MPC before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw him in his room and like sampling records and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck? This is like magic. Like, what do you like? I didn't know. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I was just tapping. I was just,
oh,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, yeah.
And,
I was egging you. I was like, saying,
and,
going,
you know, it just sparked an interest. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I got to save some money and buy one. I got to get an MPC. And I finally saved enough money and I got an MPC.
You had the blue one too, right?
I still have it.
I remember. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. I remember being in your garage. You had two, right?
I had a few. I like by that
no,
because
I remember. Okay, you had a normal XL, or you had the normal gray one, but I remember a blue, like a little smaller one that you had.
It might have been the 1000.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
yeah. But I vaguely remember.
And
that.
I still have it.
Oh, it still
yeah,
works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's
yeah.
up.
See, I take care of all my stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, explain to the viewers how much, like, because, you know, as long as you know me, how, you know.
Those are even worth more now. Those are
these
collectibles,
things?
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's see
I
it.
Mean.
Pull it out, man. Pull
yeah,
it out.
Pull it out, yeah.
The SP, man. Jay Dilla and Madlib.
Yeah, you let's. I always give
that's
homage
badass.
To this.
Yeah.
This is like an extension of my
man,
my body.
That's a great condition, man.
Oh, I take care of it. Do you know,
that's
how many,
your baby.
You know how many albums I recorded on this?
How many?
Most of them.
Damn.
Probably 90% or like 95%, like almost all of them.
Wow. Noble
thing,
Hobbs.
Oh, you remember?
I still got my CDs. You do? Yeah.
How much this guy knows
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and
man.
I was just bumping that one yeah, of this, the, yeah. the first CD you gave me. I still have all your, I have like three of your CDs.
Yeah. You have Hermit, huh?
Yeah.
I remember there's another, because I used to roll with you in your van all the time.
Yeah.
We used to roll.
We have a great story, yeah, but yeah, we but, can't. Yeah, yeah. We can't.
Well, we used to travel.
We traveled.
We used to travel. We did some traveling. Damn. And back then, I was going through a bit of a tough time. But I know. I wanted to quit music.
I was too.
Listen.
Oh.
I told you, I'm like, I was
don't
like,
quit, man.
No, I know I didn't.
Yeah.
I go, I'm done, dude. This is my last EP. And you're like, and that really, you talked me out of it. You go, yeah. Don't do it, man. Yeah. You got to keep creating.
You got to keep going, man. No, never
see,
quit, man.
That's how long
man.
You know
yeah.
me, because
yeah.
you call me Kwong U. Because like, and this Kwong is be pre-Stevie Weeby.
Stevie Weeby, man. But you'll always be Kwong U in my heart.
Yeah. But I was like going through a hard time. You're like, don't quit, man.
Noble Hops was so dope,
dude.
Man.
I'm proud of that album, dude.
The beats were dope. The raps, man.
I'm proud.
Like
of
you
that
inspired
album.
Me. I was like, yeah. dude, this guy. And then when I seen you making beats on the SP, I was like, dude, he's making that shit on the SP.
Yeah, no.
You made that shit on the SP.
I zoned
like,
out,
what?
Dude. I'm proud of that album. Yeah. I mean, I haven't put it out yet. I haven't even put
you
that
need
album.
To put
out.
It out.
No. I'm gonna talk to James and Vex yeah. and see how they feel, because you know that's a collaborative. Group effort, and I didn't want to just put that on my
yeah,
Bandcamp. I'm not like that. I want, you know, what's fair is fair.
Yep.
You know, because James wrote half the raps.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
You got to get everybody's approval.
Yeah, I got to get it, you know, make sure everything's cool.
I've put out albums, and I've had people release my albums, and you all motherfuckers know who you are,
yeah.
where I didn't
but
see
you,
shit.
But
you know
dude,
what I mean?
Back then it was a part of it, though.
Yeah.
Because you had to do that stuff.
You
right?
had to, man. Yeah,
so let's keep
to.
Going on. I want to keep talking about your music trajectory, man. So
yeah,
after
yeah.
AWOL, didn't you work with, who's that other guy? Jail One? What's
Gail Rock.
Jail Rock.
Gail Rock.
G-E-L.
Yeah. Man.
Am I right? Am I remembering this
yes,
correctly?
Yes, you are. G-E-L is one of the best.
Yeah.
One of the
so,
top
yeah,
illest.
Let's give him a shout out.
Shout out to you, Gail Rock.
To Gail
man.
Rock.
He is one of the best.
He's from East L.A., right?
Artists I've ever worked with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Whittier.
Whittier.
Yeah, yeah.
Whittier,
the 562.
He's an old.
E times two.
Project Heb. Yep.
He used to go and be a part
go,
of it. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
used
yeah.
To go back
yeah,
then.
Yeah. But I don't think he would label himself a
no,
Project
Heb. No,
but
he went once
but
a
he's
while.
Definitely
okay.
affiliated.
Right, right.
And he's
right,
Mass
right.
Man. He's Mass Man.
Yeah, you
he's part of Mass
that.
Man.
He produced a whole album.
I produced a whole album for Gail Rock called Laws and Flaws.
That's what's up.
And that artist John Landon, or wait, I think I'm saying his name right.
Yeah,
he did
yeah,
the Ambergram.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, so, man, yeah.
You don't put, you put in your work.
Yeah, I produced like two or three albums for E Times Two, his crew.
Okay.
And
that was
they're
back
really dope.
Chinky Eyed.
Yeah. Chinky Eyed Fridays. Yeah. Man,
that was a street team.
Yeah.
And I remember they used to throw even at Amoeba. They had the flyers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, who are these guys?
I think there was a guy 501.
Remember Zen Sushi? They throw Vincent.
Yeah,
Vincent
yeah.
Zen Sushi, and I'm like, oh, these guys are like killing it. They get
yep.
on like, they're getting everybody.
Putting on,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They're putting on.
Yeah.
Then you had like the Urban Underground. They're
yeah,
they're
I remember
putting
that.
A lot
yeah,
of the,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
What other? Because I love talking about just the music thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And just your work that.
We're not gonna talk no more.
No. We got stories though.
I got stories.
We'll do part two.
I got some crazy fucking stories, man. But I was like, Kwong U, stop me if I say some crazy shit because I've been through some crazy things.
Maybe you could throw one of them, just like you know. We could edit stuff out too,
okay.
you know. But if you want to, just like
okay,
just try to pick one out.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
So after Gail Rock, like who else? What other artists did you enjoy working with back then?
I've enjoyed working with I've worked with so many. You know, about 10 years ago, I started just making beats and not working with rappers and MCs.
Right,
but I've worked with a lot of really amazing artists.
Mm-hmm.
Just underground heads, you know, from Los Angeles, you know.
You ever do stuff with any of the other shifters or
you know, I did one.
Well,
you
what
know,
about
Tumex? Tumex. I've done at least like five or six songs,
with
maybe Tumex. A little more with
shout
Tumex.
Out to
Alex. Yeah,
Alex.
Yeah.
Shout out to Alex.
Marketing the Monsters with Cholo Non Cinco.
Yeah. Oh,
one of my,
that's
yeah.
another guy.
Yeah. I literally probably sold over 50,000 Marketing the Monsters CDs from the year like 2003 to like 2008, you know.
You're
I sold like
what on the street?
On the streets. I used to have these CD towers, you know, that would burn. You put one CD on
dude,
top of the multiple.
Know,
yeah,
dude, this guy, if he's a hustler. This
and,
guy.
And my goal was I would make 100 CDs.
Break it
and,
down.
And
dude,
I would try to.
Down.
And I was like, my goal tomorrow is to get my ass on the streets, Venice, wherever, and just sell as many as I could. I never sold 100 CDs in a day, but I would, some days I would get close to 60, 70 CDs, you know. But my goal was like, I'm going to sell 100 of them. That,
he's
you know,
not
I,
lying.
I would get up in the morning like, and
how
just.
How much a CD?
I would always start at $10 a pop. And, but I would, but you know
what
I mean?
That's fair, dude.
But I would take $5 or $3. And if it was, and then, you know, I would always be like, hey, well, if they didn't buy it, thank you and you have a great day.
Yeah.
And by having a great attitude, sometimes people would walk back and like, hey, you know what? I'll buy a CD off you. Just to have the energy.
You know what?
I
realized your magic. I know why now. Like, that's why you're a special guy as far as your street selling, your sales pitch. So I'm going to give you an example. If you go on Hollywood Boulevard, you have guys like, this is their CD. They'll just go like, here, dude.
Yeah, take it.
And there's no sales pitch. There's no greet.
Yeah.
There's no, hey, how you doing, man? You know, but hey, with you, you have charisma.
Yeah.
It's your charm. It's your personality.
You got to have something, you know, to drop
so, I mean,
the, you know. You
gotta, to
the viewers, you got
to
be likable.
If you want to sell anything, make sure you have a sales pitch.
Yep. Be and nice.
You
be,
have to be
you know,
nice.
Yeah.
You have to be nice.
Even
to
if they
people.
Don't want it, you could just be like, well, thank you. You know, God bless. Have a good day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was that.
Sometimes, it's just, you know what I mean? But I mean it, though, when they, you know, I was in front of Fat Beats once with Percy P. Remember Percy P?
Yeah, I remember Percy P.
Yeah, yeah. And we were both out there selling her.
He did stuff with Stone.
Yeah, he did an album with Mad Lib.
That's
yeah,
what's up.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I record,
yeah.
I he
no,
used to come.
Mad Lib uses.
Oh, man, he loves it. And
because when I worked at Amoeba, I was at the register and he walked by and I go, hey bro,
Madlib,
yeah, Madlib, and yeah. I just said something. I go, hey, I got the SP, I got the SP also,
yeah,
and he went, who? I go, whoa. Yeah, bro,
yeah,
I'm using it too.
Yeah,
that was just a little tidbit, a little story.
He's but probably anyway, like,
not that it matters. No, he will never joking. Listen to this. But anyway, you know, it's cool. As long
yeah,
as
yeah.
The homies on, it's everything's cool.
but yeah, so. So I was selling my CDs in front of Fat Beats, like, you know, they were upstairs, so but we were like on the bottom.
That was on Melrose.
Yeah. And some guy came up to me and I was like, hey, you know, and he's like, how much for a CD? I was like, $10. And he's like, well, you know, I'm going to go get a pair of pants and I'll come back. I'll buy one off you. He went to get a pair of pants and he came back and Percy P says, dude, that's that guy from Kid and Play, the one with the flat top.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's Kid, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
And he came up to me and he's like, you know. He just gave me $100 bill and I gave him the CD.
Well,
and
Kid
I was like,
from Kid and Play?
Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, I mean, let me give you your change. He said, oh, no, just keep it. I used to do the same thing back in the days. And
dude,
I was like,
Kid and Play
and
were huge in the 90s.
They were big, yeah.
Dude, they were in movies, House Party.
Yeah.
They had the fun house parties
yep.
at the fun
They had
house,
those movies, yeah.
The parties at the fun
He gave me $100 bill and I was like,
yeah.
And then I gave Percy 50 of it. I said, yo, Percy, you were here with me. Let's break
That's
it. And, you know, he was cool, yeah. Percy P, you know.
You know
and Percy,
they've been
he
there. Been
yeah.
There.
But
they've
he was cool there. Because if somebody bought a CD off Percy, he would be like, yo, check out Mascaria shit. His shit's dope. And they would be like, let me get one off you. So, you know, you help each other out, you know.
Man, you know what's impressive about you is you've navigated. You've done real street hustling.
Yeah.
And this is before the internet.
Yeah.
Because back then it was like MySpace might have been popping.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you were doing it on the $50,000 just selling it.
Yeah, but you know, but mind you, a lot of that was taking $5, $3, and some of that was like
but you had to
giving
go back.
Them away, a few
oh,
of them away. So
right.
Those 50,000 CDs that I approximately that I sold, because I would write everything down like what I would sell. You know,
oh, you
week.
Oh, you
yeah.
would?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, but a lot of, you know, I basically distributed 50,000 of that album. And,
that's amazing,
you know, but
dude.
But I got, you know. I mean, people. There were people who give me $10, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, but I have another crazy.
Wait. Go ahead. Think about it.
Well, I have a crazy story about Venice. I was there once.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
I woke up.
Hear it. Yeah, go ahead.
I woke up. You know, I woke up early in the morning. It was on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And I got on my skateboard. And I got on the bus, and I took a bus from Hacienda Heights all the way to Venice Beach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got there, you know, like in the afternoon, right, 11 or whatever. And my goal was like, you know, I need to sell this 100 CDs, man.
That was your goal.
Yeah, yeah. And I need to get rid of them. And, you know, throughout the whole day, I was doing good. You know what I mean? I had my boom box and I had a CD player with the headphones and I was slanging. And this guy came up to me, some dude came up to me and he says, hey, man, I noticed you're selling your CDs, man. You're doing really good, huh? Damn. I bet you made a lot of money today.
Well, he was trying to find out information. Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just trying to get
That's
some information.
That's a little bit too much
to ask. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, whatever. It's been okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, let me check it out. And I give him the headphones.
Oh, because you let people listen.
Yeah, yeah. Let me check it out. He's like, oh, that shit's dope. Cool, man. Hey, I'll be back. I'll get some money. He walked away, and I saw where he went, and he went like...
This is at Venice.
Yeah, there was like a pizza spot right there, and he was like on the corner.
That was like where the skate park is now. Yeah, that pizza spot.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, man, I got to fucking bounce. It was already getting late. It was already like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
What did this guy look like? Was he a big guy?
He was like a 25, 27-year-old like black dude, you know what I mean? He had some dreadlocks, whatever. And, he seemed like a nice guy, but just asking for a bit of information. I knew something was fishy.
So,
I'm keeping my eye on them, you know.
You're by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And I have my skateboard, my boombox. So, there comes a point where I see them go. They go.
Yeah.
So, I just say, fuck it, I'm going to get out of here. So, I get on my skateboard and I go down and I'm skating down this alley and boom, that guy's like right in front of me. I'm like, dude, they like followed me.
Who's they? He had his homies with him?
Yeah, he had two other guys with him, too. So he was in front of me, and they kind of had me. And he was like, hey, motherfucker, this is my fucking street. Give me your money, man. Give me all what you got. And I was scared, man.
I'm sure I would have been, too.
I just picked up my skateboard, and I broke it over his head.
You did?
Cracked the skateboard over his head. He fell down. I jacked the motherfucker. And then I went running, and then I had a knife. I had a knife with me, a Rambo knife. You know, the Rambo?
Yeah, the Rambo.
With the compass? Yeah. And I just said, motherfucker, you're mine. So I went running at the other two, and they're like, dude, this motherfucker's crazy. And they're two big dudes, you know? And I ran after them. I was going to get them, boy. I wanted to fuck them up. But they escaped. They escaped, and I was like, fuck it. And I was like, but I felt bad. I mean, I fucked that guy up bad, you know? And then I took his money. I jacked his ass. You know, I was like, you're gonna jack me, man. I mean, I told you, man, stop me because I can say some crazy shit.
It's okay.
You know, that was years ago.
That kind of caught me off guard.
That was years ago.
Heard that one.
I'm sorry, man.
You never told me that story.
I shouldn't be.
That was the first time.
I got a lot of stories, man. But you can edit that one out.
No, we're not gonna edit it.
Yeah, keep it in. Fuck it, it's real, man.
Either way, man, this is my home. Hey, man. We gotta leave it uncut. You know what I mean? That's a great story.
Thank you,
man. So the lesson.
So I basically got home with all my money, and I was happy.
so the lesson I heard, and I'm hearing the theme is, when you decide to sell your product on the street, repercussions. There are repercussions.
Yeah, I have a lot of crazy selling CD at shows and on the street.
Let me hear. Wait. Just think about it real quick. Let me hear one more story do you have one from the Knitting Factory?
I have a crazy one at the Knitting Factory where I broke a Moog synthesizer on the security guard's head.
Oh, wow. Okay, so... Well,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So I was at a show. I just done doing a show for the Chemicals. It was an AWOL Chemicals show.
Okay.
And I don't even think I told AWOL this story. I was like... I was mad. I was embarrassed what I did. I was like... I can't... But, okay, so it was the end of the show, and we were backstage at the Knitting Factory.
I remember that.
And... we just got done with the show. The show was over. Everybody was like leaving. We were in backstage just having some drinks, laughing and like having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I got I had my Moog. I was holding I didn't even have my bag on it. I had my Moog and, I was holding it and I was walking out of the backstage and I was walking out to get out of the Knitting Factory and the security guard, there was a big, and I saw him before. I knew him. Yeah. From in the past. Yeah, I didn't know his name or nothing, but I just knew him by what he looked like.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the Knitting Factory back then, they had different compartments.
They did. There were like three or four.
There was a smaller showroom. It's like a shoebox kind of.
Yeah.
Then there was like a middle size one.
Yeah.
Then there was like a main room, but continue.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's different. And by all means,
I ain't no badass. I've gotten my ass beat probably more times than I've kicked people's asses. Right. So I ain't no badass at all. I just, you know. But so the security guard, he was like, I was walking out and he was pushing me. He was like behind me, like pushing me to get out faster. Like he was actually like physically like pushing me like hard to where I was almost going to fall.
Wow.
And like fucking move fast. I was just, man, I had my record bag and I had my Moog synthesizer. And he's like, dude, you got to get out of here, bro. It's closed. Like, come on. And he would push me and I just said, you know what? Fuck you. And he had like a flashlight and he raised it to get me. And, I picked up I dropped my bag and I picked up the Moog. He hit the Moog and I just got that Moog and I just with all my force I cracked it over that guy's fucking head.
Damn, you wasted a synthesizer on a security guard?
And there was other security guards coming after me, so I just left it there. And I just ran out of there, and I left my bag with my records and all that, man. But the guy was pushing me. What are you going to, you know what I mean? Like, I was so mad, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. This is, that's fine. You want to hear those stories,
you know?
That
was too bad, yeah.
Yeah. You, John, you like this stuff. Wow. You love these stories.
Yeah. They're okay.
Okay. Do you have, just say one more story.
Man.
That's kind of like in between those two. I kind
of
like.
What kind of a story you want?
Well, I like the one at Venice. Like a little bit more, because there's like, I like pictured like a movie scene. Like it was like a movie scene.
Okay. One time, yeah. I was at a show in Silver Lake. I don't know the name of the venue, but I was performing
Space
there.
Spaceland?
It might have. Is it next to 7-Eleven?
Yes.
Okay. Spaceland.
Spaceland. It's next to 7-Eleven. Yeah. Next to 7-Eleven. Yeah.
On a little narrow.
Yeah, the narrow. Yeah.
Okay. So I was at Spaceland. We were doing a show, and, I was doing like a beat set, you know, with my, I had my SP-404, and I was just playing some beats.
Oh, you got a 404?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got an SP-404?
Yeah, and a 303. But I gave the 303 to my ex-girlfriend I was dating at the time. I let her have it, but I kept my 404.
You got a 404?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that after.
And so we're doing the show, and man.
Wait, who's performing on the bill?
You know what, man? It was some random nobodies, honestly. I don't know. I was just there just to do my little set
Yeah.
But this time there was a guy and he was slam dancing and he was like fucking everything up, man. And
moshing?
Yeah. And he was like running into like girls and like just some whack shit, man.
Yeah.
And he came at me, man, and I just...
But were you on stage?
No. I was already done performing and I had my bag and I was getting ready to walk out. And he came and he was coming right at me, boom, and I just nailed his ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Spaceland.
Yeah. At a show, man. And wow. it fucked it up because they never booked me there ever again after that.
You know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like the one memory I remember of Spaceland was Rest in Peace Idea.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw Idea and Slug, Idea and Abilities and Slug perform there. And it was one of the most amazing sets that I've ever seen. Because, like, you know, that goes to show you can't judge a book by its cover. Because even going back to the Shapeshifters, a lot of them are white, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, these guys, like, Idea, rest in peace, like, he was a white guy. And I'm like, what is this? Like, are they doing an indie rock? I don't see their guitars. But then he just literally, like, blew me away. He was, like, he was dope.
Yeah.
He was freestyling, like... And, like, improvising, and then that's when I saw Slug for the first time, and I'm like, whoa, these guys.
Atmosphere is dope.
And I, you know what impressed me more? Because it's like, these guys kind of had a Cali, not really of a Cali Freestyle Fellowship vibe, but they had that energy, you know? They rap fast, but not like that, not like how Peace would
they
rap.
They still have their own style.
You know what I'm saying? They would have their own style, but then he was doing it, and I'm like, oh, dang, this is, and then I just remember, that's like, When I like really gained a lot of respect for the Living Legends, because Grouch was actually at their show passing out flyers for his show.
Oh shit!
So it made me realize like, oh, that's what you have to do. You have to like go to other people's shows and pass out and then pass out flyers to your show.
Yep.
And you have to be there like it's your show, but promote, you know, for your thing in 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So I that's when like the legends were popping off, and I saw that. I just remember seeing the Grouch, and I'm like, oh dang, these guys are. That's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
Because I was just about to get into like recording. I might have had a tape 4-track, but that's like one of the main memories about Spaceland there. But yeah, man, it's unfortunate you had to do that. But you know what? To defend you, you're not like a malicious guy.
No.
It takes a certain action.
It took some,
people have to really press your buttons for you to do something.
Yeah. And it was the only time I've ever, you know, seen something like that fucked up. You know, this big ass dude just running into people and like thinking he could just like slam dance.
Let's go. Let's go back to the positive as far as your production. So what are you? So what projects have you been like since I've talked to you? Like, what have you been working on recently? What are your thoughts on these music programs? Like, how has your production style changed because of the technology?
I make music like almost every day, you know.
I was
creating
and
most of it, you know, just most of my music that I make nowadays, you know, like 90% of it just is just music for me to listen to. You know what
no,
I mean?
No. Like, but there's a reason why you're here right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want these people to, how could they find your music?
Like, oh, let's okay. Just
do
like
it. We can do it. At
oh
the
yeah,
end,
yeah.
Let's do it now
okay.
too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I'm on SoundCloud under Mascaria and the Sewer Swimmers.
That's Mascaria.
Yeah,
Mascaria.
And I just produced a really amazing album with my friend Scott.
That's what's up.
We both, you know, collaborated.
Is that on SoundCloud too, or Bandcamp?
That was
what's
on
up?
SoundCloud under the Sewer Swimmers. So check that shit
the
out.
Sewer Swimmers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you did all the production.
No. I did like 50-50 with my friend Scott. Yeah. Like, you know, I could say, you know, I didn't do more. It's an equal part.
Yeah.
Collaboration. You know.
And then you had other interests, like with art, and because like I love your Instagram because it has like these trippy like Timothy Leary psychedelic paintings and weird images and stuff.
I've always been into psychedelics, you know.
I know. Well, so this is going back to this. I'm sober. I'm going to give this to a friend that will be able to enjoy this. Unfortunately, I can't consume these mushrooms, but I remember back then.
Spread the love.
But I remember back then in your garage, dude, this is why I,
damn.
Man, back then I was peeping game, like in your garage, I looked up.
Wow.
And dude, you had some harvests going and back then. And then I'm like, oh, this guy's like, okay.
I used to, you know, I haven't done.
You haven't done that in a while. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to love to, I used to have some. I had quite a few harvests in the garage.
Back in the heyday.
Back in the heyday.
That's like way a long time ago.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the consumption. Like, have you, so you've done beats. Like, what do you enjoy about, like,
you know,
psilocybin shrooms and everything?
Well, you know, I became sober about, you know, well, I'm not from weed.
Yeah.
About 8 years ago, I stopped smoking weed. But when I stopped smoking weed, I noticed I lost my drive to create music.
I went through that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it lasted for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, mine was
like
3-4 years.
Okay.
Like, remember,
you couldn't
make nothing, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is the reason why. Because me and him are people like, when we create music, or I'm about to create a beat, it's like a ceremony to me.
Yeah.
There's a method to it. I don't just, I'll turn this on. I like, there's steps to it. Like back then I would like roll a little blunt. Then I cut the blunt in half and then I would smoke a little blunt. Then I might be going through some, like there's like a method to it. And then it was literally,
it's a ritual.
Cause that's why I relate to you. Cause you're like, I have music, but it's like only meant for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I can personal. Relate to that. It's personal because it's like when, like, some cats like we ain't trying to get on, like we're not trying to be on the radio, you know what I'm saying? It ain't like that. Like for us it's more, you know, like similar to surfing or something. It's more, it's like more soul searching type thing. So even to this day, I got my thing on Bandcamp, but that was my initial thing, is not to sell a million units. Hey, if you want to throw $10 at it and you enjoy the music, that's more love, you know. But my initial reasoning for making music is like almost like a ceremonious thing. It was like, it's kind of like meditation.
Yeah.
It's like, so going back to the weed thing, when I eliminated the weed, I was missing like a vital like ingredient or aspect to like my creative process. Like I eliminated that because not only I love making beats and sampling with like getting like being like kind of high, but I also, my favorite thing about making beats is listening to it.
Afterwards,
I did most of the listening afterwards, like hundreds and hundreds. Like I would listen all night.
Wow.
I would listen to like the intricacies of like, oh, that's a dope jazz sample I found, or oh, look at that. Oh, that sounds dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at like the stuff that I cherish now, the Noble Hop self-titled album, like my Hermit EP, Lakeside View, I did when I was sober, but it took me a while to write that album, because even writing, I used to love writing.
What an awesome name for an album.
Oh, Lakeside View.
Badass.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so that's on my Bandcamp, and we're going to plug that in.
Me and you, now that we reunited the team here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to build and we're going to make some music.
I would love to make it. Dude, I would love, just for the love of the art, I would love.
Gosh, yeah.
Because I've always, I always dug your production style, man.
When I met this guy, there was always something, he had a spark about him that I always knew, like, you know, this guy is going to do some big things in the future. Like,
yeah, we're just trying.
He's a fun guy to be around. Yeah, he's a cool guy and he's a very talented person. So, you know, I always recognized that. From the get-go, from the beginning. When I met you, you know,
I think
the first day I met him, man, like,
we got along,
and he invited me to his house, and I stayed there for 3 days, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and I was like, this guy's so cool, this guy, like, he's into the same, like, you know, I wasn't hanging out with a lot of people at that time, you know what I mean, I was like, you know, I was with my girl, and like,
yeah,
and like, I met him, and like, we just hung out for 3 days, like, it was a three-day party, I remember, like, two or three-day party, where I stayed at your, yeah,
there.
Yeah. I spent the night, I stepped on the floor, and he's like, hey, Matt, I'm going to go to work. He says, you can stay here all day and just chill or whatever. I says, fuck it. You know?
I remember, in the other unit?
In the other unit, yeah. And I remember, like, you had your SP, and I was, like, playing with it.
This
guy's cool, you know? Like, I went to In-N-Out and got a burger. I came back, and, like.
I still do that.
I was smoking and vibing, and I was mm-hmm. like, dude, this guy's cool. I didn't, you know?
Oh, and then you had my back. You brought me to your mom's.
Yeah. Yeah. You used to come to
you know,
rest in peace,
Cliff. I hung out with Cliff, and then we just chill, make beats.
And Cliff used to, I had a friend, now I'm not going to say his name, but he was a big advocate of dimethyltryptamine, DMT.
Okay.
And he used to get this really good 5-MeO, and he used to make it out of a tree bark, Marmosa hostilis.
That's crazy.
And rest in peace, Cliff, but... That was my friend's guinea pig, DMT guinea pig. But he had the best experiences on DMT.
Oh, so Cliff did that?
Yeah, he used to love his DMT. Right, you know what
you
DMT
know what,
is?
Man,
I know. I should be talking about drugs.
You used to bring Cliff over. You used to bring Cliff over. You would make surprise visits when I lived in the little shoebox there. You would just make surprise visits where Cliff would just be there because he missed me so much.
Yeah, he would always say, "Man, how's Kwong? How's Kwong Gu? Oh, where's Kwong Gu up to?" You know? Yeah. He was a good. He
always
was
like that old guy.
He was cool.
I don't know how he ended up in just your backyard, but
I
accepted him. Your family.
You helped him out. You know what? The true story is, when I was real young, I visited my father in Mexico, and I was there for the summer. And my dad got a phone call
in Mexico? Guadalajara,
Michoacan.
Oh, Michoacan. Okay.
And my dad got a phone call from my mother saying that my sister got hit by a car. So he had to come back, and the person who hit my sister, they were related to Cliff. What? So Cliff felt it was his duty to always be there and help my mother out with my disabled sister because somebody in his family had hit her. So he was always there for my mother, you know what I mean? So that's why he was with me a lot, you know what I mean? He was a cool guy, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. So he was there, and he gave himself to him, like my mother, to like help her out with my, like, to pick her up and put her in the bath chair.
I remember
and
that.
Yeah, yeah. And my sister, she has to be fed, you know. Like,
I remember
your
living room.
So he was a good man. He had a good heart, and he said, you know what, like, you know, I'm sorry this happened, but I'm gonna be here and help you out.
Oh man, rest in peace, man.
So he was a good man.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Hey, how we doing on time? We're doing good.
Okay.
So, no.
We haven't even scratched the surface.
I know, we haven't even.
You know what I mean? Here I am talking about.
I told you it was my
crazy.
Fly by. But we'll do 10 more minutes. I don't want to cut to 7 because this we. I feel like we're like 5 minutes in.
Yeah. This needs to be a three part.
Me and this guy, we have some.
We got a lot of stories. We haven't scratched anything yet.
I know. We haven't really talked about anything yet. I love guests who I have a rapport with.
Yeah.
I don't have that a lot.
We have a history, like, man, like, me and this guy.
Because I had that with Gino because we know I work at Amoeba with Gino, or I have that with certain
cats. He's a badass rapper. Good
Sam,
producer.
Too. Yeah, I had Spiegel. Yeah. I had Sam Spiegel last week. Okay. But then, and then Scarab's coming next week. I've never met Scarab.
You got some amazing artists
but
on
see,
your
but,
show,
but
man.
The thing is, it's not just hip-hop artists. We have comedians.
Oh, yeah. You had
MMA fighters.
Skateboarders.
Skaters. Yeah. So it's like everything.
Yeah.
But, But you know, I gotta get my, I gotta get the homies on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And but, I was like, man, I know I'm gonna get on the show and say some shit that I'm gonna regret.
No. Hey, those are fine stories.
I got the, right? I got mean, crazy stories, man. You know, I mean,
if anything, they're self-defense stories.
I have stupid crazy stories.
You're protecting yourself.
Yeah. I mean, this is shit that happens when you're an underground artist selling CDs on the streets. Motherfuckers are gonna test you. They're gonna fuck mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that side, not just being out there. Mr. Happy Go Lucky selling shit. I mean, shit happens when you're on the fucking streets and people see you're making money. And you know, and then they get mad because you're on their turf and shit. Like, hey man, this is my fucking spot. Yeah, you know,
they're trying to tax you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to like.
So, as far as I want to wrap this. But you're gonna definitely do part two, three.
I want to come back.
But
yeah.
the thing is, the main reason I wanted you here. So I wanted to inform the viewers and listeners about your music, how they could listen to your music, and how they could find you on social media.
Yeah.
So like where can you tell the viewers like where they could like peep some of Mascaria's music again?
Oh man, you could hear it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just you know, look up Mascaria. I got some videos on there. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. Like a lot of my music, the last 4 years has not been released, except for an album I produced with my friend Scotty, the Sewer Swimmers, is like my latest. It's like my newer. I've come through so many styles. I've been making beats since 2002. Oh no, I'm sorry. Let me take it back. 1992. Yeah, it's when I first got my first drum machine. Yeah. So but mind you, those beats in those days, they were like, I didn't even know how to make beats. They were just like loops and whack shit. You know. But
you've been learning this craft since 92.
Yeah, yeah. But mind you, like when I made my first dope beat that I was happy was like
95 maybe.
No, like 97. 97. It was like years later. I'm like, this is dope.
There's a learning curve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a bit of a hobby in those days. Yeah. Nobody taught me how to do anything. I didn't know how to do anything, you know?
You taught yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's like someone trying to learn how to surf by themselves. Yeah, you know, he had to learn by himself.
Yeah. But I started smoking cannabis about 5 months ago, and I noticed that I've been making the most music I've made ever in many years.
See, that's how it could help. I get paranoid.
You know what it is when I smoke weed, I get depressed. You know, it kind of gives me a depressant a little bit. You know, I get stressed and depressed. I'm like, so to get out of it, I get into my music world. I get lost on the MPC, and I'm just like, you know, like, I forget about everything, and I'm just like, you know, I get in the zone, the music zone, you know, and it just gets me out. It's, you know, and then I find myself, you know, like for like, you know, after I make the beat, like just listening to it for like 10 minutes. And like when I wasn't smoking weed, I wasn't like that. I would get frustrated, and I would start a beat, and I would just like turn off the MPC, and a few days later I'd work, you know, so.
Damn, I can relate to
But the weed does get me a little bit depressed. That's what I don't like about it. But to get out of it, I get into my machine.
But in a way, okay. So
I create.
Yeah, it does do that. It's kind of weird. But you have an outlet now.
Yeah.
Where you're depressed, but then you can actually harness that into what you're doing on the beat machine. Because that's what I miss. Because like when I made Lakeside View, I was sober, but then I had to like force myself to like create this world, you know, like it's kind of a metaphorical like title, like Lakeside View is just an imaginary place in my mind where I could escape. And that's what I used to get when I used to smoke weed, but now I have to learn that like being sober.
Oh.
But that's why it's like a lake, and it's like I had to, you know, so that's what I used that example of, like, it's not like a literal place, it's like a metaphoric like kind of analogy of a being a lake in my mind, like a lakeside view, like a view, like a part in your brain where you could go to, like where the music making happens.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, similar.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like
man.
I got that. I used to. I know exactly what you're talking about. I could relate to that 100%.
But you know, when I make my beats, man, I don't go sampling off YouTube and all this shit. I collect records. I dig. I'm a digger. I just bought a record today.
Yeah, I know. I already know that. How big's your collection by now?
My collection is not extremely huge, but I can say that my collection has been narrowed down to about 5,000 really, really amazing records. Like, you know, the records that are my keepers. I've had a lot more.
Okay, so that's for part two, dude. Okay. Yeah, because you can talk about
Let me tell you a funny story, though.
Okay,
let me tell you one funny story about Amoeba.
Okay.
I used to go to Amoeba in my van.
Yeah.
And I'd go, this is fucked up. you know.
No, it's okay. It's
they're
okay.
They're not good. Yeah. But yeah, I go in the Amoeba and I go to the warehouse in the back, and they'd give me all their donation records, you know.
Oh, they would?
Yeah, but I remember one time I got the donation records and I went and I parked in the front and I took them back and I resold it to them. I probably got about $300. I felt bad. I was like, I'm going to get you back Amoeba one day. You know, they're going to, you know, they've kicked me out of Amoeba like 3 times. I don't know how they.
All right. So Amoeba, we're going to, you know, he's going to make that right.
But but one funny story I got. Let me just say one more. This is back when I was hanging out in them days with you. I bought a Tomita record from Amoeba, and I bought a few records that day, and I came home, and I listened to a few of them. And a year later, I had a little stack of the records I bought that day. I was like, oh, man, those records I got. So I going through the records. I was like, oh, fuck, Tomita, Snowflakes Are Dancing. I look at the back, it's him, and there's a smoke synthesizer and all this modular gear. And then I listened to the record, I sampled it, and I tried to put the record back in, and it wouldn't go in. It was like something was jamming. And I looked in there, and there was $700 crispy bills in there. And I was fucking piss poor, like hurting at that time.
There was $100 bills?
Yeah. Somebody was stashed their money. And I had another friend that told me, dude, I do the same thing. I had my money from my wife in my records. And he was showing me, dude, look, I got $50 here, 30. So, you know, thank you, whoever that was who sold those records. But I found out years later that it was a lady who sold her husband's collection, and she had a lot of money stashed in the records, told me. So that's a good.
Hey, you know what? You can't make
$700, man, for a 50-cent record.
I'm telling you, that really happened. You can't make this stuff up. This shit I love up. You, brother.
I love you, brother.
Hey,
we're making a
what's
part
your social?
Two, part three.
Yeah, we're going to do part 2, 3. I mean, yeah, we have too much history. What's your Instagram, brother?
I try not to be on, you know, I'm only on Instagram and like SoundCloud, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but go ahead. Can you
Instagram Mascaria?
MASCARIA.
And I used to post shit every day, but I post something like every other.
But no. I want people to find
you. Yeah. But
and then how do they find you? What's your SoundCloud?
Mascaria.
Mascaria. MASCARIA.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the title of the YouTube.
Yep.
And
CA
and
all day.
Audio boom. Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, I love you, brother.
I love you, brother. Hey, it was only
a
matter of time.
Yeah. This is a reunion.
Feel free to, you know, edit it, whatever.
Yeah. I don't think we will edit it. I think we're fine.
Keep it raw, man. Whatever.
It's raw. I think, you know what? I love it.
Thank you.
I don't care what people say. I love it. And
it don't matter what motherfuckers say.
Yeah, afterwards, I want you to. I'm gonna ask for your advice as far as who you think would be a dope guest on the show as well.
Okay.
So I have a lot to read off. Shout out again to Blue Chew. Go to BlueChew.com, right, and use that promo code. Okay, BlueChew.com, promo code Stevie, and try it for free. Okay. I just kind of threw that in there. I didn't have to do that, but I did. Okay. Okay, so I have to show a lot of love to the new patrons on my Patreon. I want to say every single name. So we have a lot of new Patreons. Go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby if you want to stay kind of connected with the show and help support the show. But anyway, so shout out to Easy, Casey Lopez, M. Wildhack, Jess R., Aaron Kobach, Dominic Arcand, Daniel, Javier Silva, Nicole S., Gillian Cortez, Kayla Pam, Alyssa, Kevin Chu, Worst Fire Team Ever, Austin Ward, Thomas, David Lee, T. Gomez, Luis Espinoza, Stefan, Hugh Min, Uncle Tim, Carlos Vasquez, Liam, Brian Abe, Dominic Bacchetti, Peter Chavez, Sharon, The Real African Gold, Alan Du, Alyssa Stamper, Andy Barr, Ryan Wentz, Stephen C., James Buff, Hikori Tonasama, Brian Murray, Seamus Conroy, Jose Maldonado Jr., Oh Really, 2211, Brendan Vieger, Michael Jose, Amber Allen, Damien, J.N. Marie, Gil Flores, Long Chiong, Red X, and Joel. And if I forgot you, I'm definitely going to shout you out for next week's episode. Got to give a shout out. So if you want to help support the show, patreon.com/Stevie Weeby, make that pledge. These are the new ones. I'm ecstatic. They're coming through as far as the support. I got, you can get my music at stevieweebybandcamp.com. We talk music for a great deal of this episode. Definitely support his SoundCloud, but if you want to get anything,
I'm on Bandcamp too.
What's your Bandcamp?
Mascaria.
Go to mascariabandcamp.com. Mm-hmm.
I got a few albums on there.
Go to mascariabandcamp.com and buy some of Mascaria's Mascario's album, Please. Thank you. I got to give a shout to my man, Sang Hong Joseph Ong. This guy bought all 12 albums that I have up there, and he's done it three times.
Whoa.
He already has the albums, but he keeps buying them.
Man, yeah.
It's like the $100 bills you found in your record. anyway, so shout out to my man, Joseph Ong. That's my homie. Shout out to George Fort, who bought an album. Ben Hammond, who bought an album. Murilo Sanchez, who bought an album. So StevieWeebyBandcamp.com to follow the show. The Stevie Weeby Show. Go to Instagram/QUANGOU. I have a new vlog series I'm working on. It's called Stevie's P.O. Box. If you want to send packages, send it to the Stevie Weeby Show at 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
God dang, that was a reunion. Yeah. With that being said, it's time for Low Ray's World.
Yeah.
Welcome to Low Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls. Welcome to Little Ray's World. Hee-haw! What the hell do we got here, man? Looks like a goddamn alien gray, man. Wait a minute, man. I think I understand what you just said. Are you telling me you're a goddamn Eben and your name is Regan and you come from the Zeta Reticuli constellation, man? Wait a minute, man. Are you telling me that you created Homo sapiens? Your kind created humans, man? People that look like me, man? I'm no goddamn experiment, man. That's a lie. That's a goddamn lie, man. And you know what? Me and Beep wrote a song about you, man. And it goes like this, Regan. You goddamn Eben. This one's about Regan, the Eben partner. Regan is an Eben and I'm thinking about leaving. What you telling me you're the reason why I'm breathing? His head shaped like a parabola, just like Keegan. He's a goddamn alien Deacon that is tweaking. Man, what you seeking around these parts for keeping? Me and Beep are not even ready to be eaten. I'm offended, be quantum leaping, cause I won't be kneeling. Man, Luke never bowed down to Darth Vader. I might have to get this straight, saying that you're my creator. So do me this favor, make a food simulator. Me and Beep are feeding for some pizza mold. Thanks again for tuning in. Join us in about 2 weeks for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. Make sure to go to StevieWeebyBandcamp.com and get some of that damn cool music, man. Let's get her done. Woo!